Maple Leafs general manager. Who steps in next for the Toronto Maple Leafs? And does Lou step into the role of president slash general manager slash God knows what with the New York Islanders? We answer some of those questions and we'll hear from Lou himself right here on this special edition of the Hockey Talk Show. This is a special edition of the Hockey Talk Show. I'm your host, Anthony, and welcome in. I'm guessing that because we're on top of this news pretty quickly here, John Burke, welcome into the program, man. Probably a lot of people are going to see this video more so than you usually watch the Hockey Talk Show. So quickly here, former NHL employee of the New York Islanders and current morning show host. I cover the National Hockey League. With the Hockey Talk Show, we don't break news here. We talk about news. So if you love the game of hockey and you love talking about every single aspect of it, make sure you subscribe on YouTube and hit the bell to get notifications. Also on Facebook, like our page, Hockey Talk Show, and follow us and make sure you're seeing our notifications first over there. Because if you're not getting notifications, then you miss out on a thing like this where, bam, some breaking news happens and we're talking about it. Lou Lamoriello out as general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is a little bit of a complicated situation. We will go over every single facet of this and take some of your questions right here on the Hockey Talk Show. Phone number 631-438-1768. Comment sections are wide open. There's a lot of aspects of this. Danny's listening in class. Chris is here with us. There's a lot of aspects to this, basically three-parter. What's Lou feel about it? Who's going to be the next general manager for the Toronto Maple Leafs? And does Lou go to the New York Islanders? Something that we discussed here on the show in the past. And it's also something that was really ignited big time, by an article in the New York Post by Larry Brooks. Before we delve in quickly, my feelings on Larry Brooks. A big fat liar, not a great journalist, but I feel for him in that he is struggling in this landscape of trying to keep the attention of people. Nobody's buying newspapers anymore. He's not exactly internet savvy. I know for certain he has exaggerated things in the past. He is not a nice person to be around. I never had a bad experience when I worked with the New York Islanders with him, but I know a lot about him, and I just, from reading him as a fan, of hockey, don't like him. And I think he brings up stupid points far too often. Anyway, that being said, he wrote an article over the weekend of, does Lou Lamoriello go to the New York Islanders? Why is there such a New York Islander take on this? If you're unaware, Lou's son, Chris, is the assistant general manager of the New York Islanders. So there's a link there. Chris was a big part of the New Jersey Devils franchise under his dad. And once his dad left, Chris wound up jumping over to the New York Islanders as assistant general manager. Something we knew he was in the organization. We didn't know exactly what his title was, because the only one who holds information closer to their chest than Lou Lamoriello is Garth Snow. Also, Garth has a bigger chest. Not that I'm looking. It's just Garth is kind of annoying when it comes to letting out basic information like who's your assistant general manager. That was not a question that we had answered right away. From when, what's his name left? I can't remember. He's somewhere else now. Very nice guy. He was with the team when I was there. But anyway, point is, Garth never says peep, and Lou doesn't say all that much either. So let's break this down, and then I'll definitely get into some of the questions that are coming in. Keep asking them if you guys have them in the comments section. But essentially, and speaking of things that we didn't know, what happened with Lou is he signed a 3-year contract with the Toronto. Actually, he signed a 7-year contract. Let me say it this way. He signed a 7-year contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs at the age of 72. He is now 75. First 3 years of that contract was as general manager, and the next 4 years of that contract was as a special advisor. So he was going to GM the team and then move into this role of special advisor. That was the Shanahan plan, or the Shana plan, all along that that's what he was going to do. He was going to come in as GM and then essentially he was going to move on. This is not something that was widely known. I believe it wasn't the biggest secret in the world. I think everybody kind of knew one day Lou was going to transition into a special advisory role. Some people kind of felt like that's what this was when he even first got hired at the age of 72. But alas, it turned out to not be the case. He came in as a general manager. And I think people kind of knew, like I said, he was going to transition, but nobody really knew that it was written into a contract and that there was a 3-year limit for the general manager job and then a 4-year, special advisory role. I think it's a smart move on behalf of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it's not exactly foolproof. I don't think it stops Lou from going anywhere else, i.e. the New York Islanders or anywhere else he seeks to go. Because I don't believe that Brendan Shanahan or the Toronto Maple Leafs would dare block Lou Lamoriello, who's already in the Hockey Hall of Fame, from going where he wants and having the job that he wants. So that makes things a little bit interesting on the Islander standpoint. Now, you're going to hear from Lou in this special edition of the Hockey Talk Show, and he's going to tell you the exact opposite of what I'm going to tell you right now. But I am going to back up my standpoint on this with some evidence. Now, am I saying Lou's going to the Islanders? No. What I'm saying is it's as possible today as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow. It is a possibility. It can absolutely happen. The fact that he has 4 years remaining on a contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs as a special advisor means bupkis. Nothing to me. Because again, like I said, Shanahan, Maple Leafs, they're not going to stop Lou Lamoriello if he doesn't really want to be there. It's just not going to happen. And again, you're going to hear Lou say he wants to be there. Now, this news broke around 11 o'clock or so, maybe a little bit earlier. I held off because there was a 1 o'clock press conference call. And I wanted to bring some audio because this is pretty complicated. There's a lot that goes into why this is happening today. And the reason is Lou didn't want to talk about, like, it gets complicated. And I get the feeling that because we didn't know any of this information, Lou obviously wanted to stay as general manager. Now, he's obviously going to honor his contract, but it's clear that he wanted to stay as general manager. There's a couple of reasons why. One, why not reveal the fact that this contract was in place? Well, because maybe Lou wants to change his mind. Perhaps Brendan wanted to change his mind. If he goes out there and he says, we signed Lou to 3 years as GM, and then he's going to be the special advisor for 4 years, then everybody's going to be asking, do you extend him? Do you want to keep him? Does he go early? You know, that's the question. So the question just was, Lou doesn't have a contract as general manager after this year. Does he stay? Does he go? It changes the dynamic a little bit. But the fact that Lou wasn't sitting there and saying, look, I'm going to go into this other role or whatever, it gave both sides some flexibility to see what they wanted to do. The fact that they dragged it all the way here, to me, was a sure sign that Lou wanted to stay. Now, I know that Lou wanted to stay because he did a press conference on the 27th. Was that Friday? And, he said, A, he didn't want to talk about it, but that he was happy with the Leafs, so on and so forth. Thumbs up, guys, if you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube. Hit the share button, too. Make sure you spread it around on social media. Let everybody know that when hockey news breaks, you come here to the Hockey Talk Show to talk about it. Super important that we get those thumbs up. Don't just watch the video. Hit the thumbs up on Facebook and YouTube. And, of course, share it around if you'd like. We're going to be live for a few more moments here until we get this all around. Thanks for the thumbs up on Facebook. Keep it going, man, on YouTube. And then we'll conclude. Before we move on with Lou, we are going to be doing a live reaction stream tonight on YouTube only. So if you're like hardcore, you watch the Hockey Talk Show on Facebook only, we'll put a link there for you. There'll be a link on Facebook, but there won't be a Facebook live video this evening. We're just going to do it on YouTube. We'll be watching game 2, Boston and Tampa Bay, which should be a pretty exciting one from Tampa. Puck drops. It's actually 7 is the announced start time. Usually 7:07, the puck will drop. So we'll get into that and we'll watch the game all the way through. A live reaction of the game. We'll talk some more hockey. We'll talk some more Lou Lamoriello, I'm sure, tonight. So again, share this around so people know. Tweet at your buddies. Let them know. At Hockey Talk Show is going to be doing a live reaction show tonight. Everybody come and watch. All right. So back to Lou. Let's hear from Lou. Let's hear some of the audio and then we'll get into the possibility of the New York Islanders. And then I promise I will go and read the questions that are coming in. But as you can imagine, they asked Lou, you know, what the steps were. Where is his head at? You know, is he going to honor the contract? So on and so forth. And we'll hear from Lou. We'll hear a follow-up question with Lou. And we'll hear from Brendan as well. And I might pause this, but here's what Lou had to say just 50, 60 minutes ago.
First of all, my responsibility is right here with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I made an agreement and a decision 3 years ago, and it is my intent to honor that. And really, it was this morning that Brendan and I had a conversation. So really, there are no other thoughts in my mind at this point.
Do you plan to?
By the way, that's a typical Lou response. There are no other thoughts in my point. Like he doesn't share too much. Lou never says more than he absolutely has to. So I find that to be pretty interesting. Here's the follow-up question to go along with that.
Mind at this point.
Do you plan to do that for the full four seasons, or do you kind of take a season-by-season approach? What's the plan there?
I wish I could give you that answer. I you know, haven't even given it any thought. It would be my intention. If your health is good, you feel good, you enjoy the people around you, you know, you do something. That would be the intent.
Gotta love this man. I love this man. I love him in New Jersey. I loved him in Toronto. I loved him for the 45 minutes in between Jersey and Toronto. I love the man. That would be my intent. It's hard for me to say. Are you staying for 4 years like it says in your contract? Well, that would be my intent. It's hard for me to say. And then the genius of him to turn it around unto himself, because the Larry Brooks article of Lamoriello possibly to the Islanders. But, and by the way, everybody, not to give Brooks any credit, like everybody, we were talking about this months ago, I was telling you about this. So it's not like Brooks broke the news or was the only one to bring that link together. But Brooks wrote about it. There was nothing going on this weekend outside of the games themselves. And it caught fire and everybody was like, oh, well, Larry Brooks and the New York, not to say that the New York Post is not completely dead, but you know, it made a little buzz. So obviously that's what he's going to be asked about. That's what everybody's asking. Are you going to go to the Islanders? Are you going to go to somewhere else? Maybe not the Islanders, maybe some other team. You staying? What was the thing? He knows that's the question. And yet he turns it around into a question about his health. When you're this age, if you can do it every day and you enjoy the people, like he turns it into a question about his health. He knows what we're all asking. He knows what they're hinting at. He turns around and makes it about his age and the thing. And the genius. The man's a genius. Here's Brendan Shanahan on the moving Lou over from GM to special advisor.
Lou's contributions to the Leafs were vital. I mean, we were an organization that was looking to build, you know, the cultural foundations that he laid, his expertise, the mentorship that he's provided. You know, as I said before, I have the utmost respect for Lou, and he's earned that throughout the hockey world.
All right, so there's Brendan on it. Doesn't really add all that much to this. Other than this was the plan. This was obviously decided this morning. The two of them had a conversation together. The other interesting thing to note on this, too, is Lou was on this call. That is certainly significant, but Lou is a team player. If he was fired, if there was animosity, this would have been a Brendan Shanahan press conference, but Lou is a part of it. So that gives you one sense of what's going on here. But again, there's literally no reason for any of this if you're keeping Lou for another year as general manager. And again, it doesn't get to this point unless Lou wants to be GM for another year. You know what I'm saying? At some point in the conversation, Lou had to say, look, I want to stay, or I'm willing to stay. I know we agreed on 3 years. I think that this happened. This is purely my opinion and speculation, just the way things broke down, the way things came out, that Lou at some point said, I'd like to stay, and I wouldn't mind staying. And I'm sure Brendan was like, well, you know, we'll give it some consideration, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll see. Let's evaluate whatever he was going to say. There had to be some of that. Because if Lou turns around and says, Brendan, this has been great, but look, I think I want to limit my role and move into that special advisory thing. And Lou and Brendan's like, okay, you know, then we would have known already. You know, there would have been an announcement. There's no way they would have let it go this long. They would have had this conversation. They would have had this information go out. Or even if it came to this day, they would have said, look, we had a conversation back in, you know, February. And I said to Lou, what does he want to do? And Lou said, I want to be, you know, the story would have been Lou Lamoriello has decided to slide into this role on his contract, whatever. But now the story is Brendan Shanahan is sticking to his original plan, which was, you know, 3-year deal, 4-year, you know, advisory role. Now, I was just talking to my wife about this, and she said to me, she brought up an interesting point, which was, is this BS? And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, well, what if there was no 7-year deal? What if they just made it up this morning? And I'm like, well, it's not impossible. It is a good idea. It is an interesting idea that they went to Lou and they said, look, why don't we just say when we originally signed you, or maybe it was a conversation they had and they said, like, let's just say it and blah, blah, blah. That's also a possibility. But I think that maybe this was the plan from Brendan all along. I was surprised when Brendan brought Lou here in the first place. Because Lou's stature is up here, and Brendan, although very respected, is not Lou Lamoriello. So I found it to be an interesting dynamic that Brendan brought in Lou. Ballsy and very smart, because, you know, Brendan's not nervous or concerned or worried about his position. He went out and got the best guy he possibly could. And by the way, let's also point out, it worked. Lou is a good GM. It worked. It worked to a T. Lou did what he was supposed to do. Now, Lou drafted Austin Matthews. Anybody could have. Lou made the deal for Freddie Anderson. It was a great deal. All Lou, but anybody could have. What Lou did was Lou brought Lou for 3 years. Lou brought Stanley Cup championships. Lou brought a no guff attitude. Lou brought no leaks. Lou brought a seriousness and a statute to the Maple Leafs organization. That's what Lou did. All Lou had to do was show up for 3 years. And he did more than that. He got you goaltender. He got you a franchise player. He helped bring along the other guys. He got you, you know, he kept a good relationship with the coach. He did a lot of things. He did good things. He's a great general manager. He was very good for the Leafs. You have a couple of misses? Sure. Did he not get the defenseman that he wanted to at the deadline? Yeah, but you know what? I went back and I watched the press conference from Lou on Saturday, and he flat out came out and said, look, we tried to get a defenseman. The price was too high. We just didn't want to mortgage our future for that much. And to me, that's a good GM because, you know, unlike the Islanders or Carolina or Minnesota, where they are in their standpoint, Dallas, where they are in their evolution as a franchise, you know, they're here, you know, they're, you know, every team goes, tries to win here, and then eventually it's there. You know, Dallas, the Islanders, they're all kind of up here. They're close to that. This is as good as they're going to get. The Leafs are here. And to sacrifice and mortgage future for this playoff run, I got to tell you, it takes a special kind of a person not to take that chance, because all these guys are competitive as hell. But a smart person doesn't, because a smart person looks at all this and goes, Austin Matthews is good now. In 3 years, he's going to be downright amazing. You know what I'm saying? and Nylander and all of them. They're all going to be better. So it, you know, it's a smart move. And then you look at Pittsburgh and you look at Boston and you look at, you know, Columbus and Washington. And, you know, even if you get a good defenseman, do the Leafs beat the Boston Bruins? Do they get past the Pittsburgh Penguins at some point? You know, it's a toss up and maybe not worth giving up something of what the other teams were asking for. And I'm certain they were asking for Mitch Marner. I mean, if you're another general manager and Lou calls you up and wants your defenseman, who are you going to ask for? What are you going to say? Oh, send me Roman Polak. It'll be fine. No, you're going to ask for Mitch Marner. You think he's on the outs? Coaches put him on the fourth line. I'm sure that's where most of those conversations started and stopped. So Lou is a great general manager. A great, great general manager. We're going to talk about the Pittsburgh game tonight in just a little bit. Again, hit the thumbs up on this video, guys. It helps on YouTube and everywhere else to spread the word. Hit that share button if you can. Throw it on your Facebook or your Twitter, wherever you're watching on Facebook or Twitter. And make sure you guys are subscribed because we do a lot of these kind of shows whenever news breaks. We come in here. I'm going to take some comments right now on Facebook and YouTube. We're going to have some back and forth right now. We'll talk about the Leafs primarily, but I see a couple other questions popping up, so I'll get to those as well. But tonight, game two, Boston and Tampa Bay from Florida, 7 o'clock. We'll do a live reaction show where we'll watch the game together and comment along, and we'll do these little mini hockey talk shows in the breaks and everything. So that's tonight, and that's going to be on YouTube only. So if you're a hardcore Facebook follower and you wait for that little notification that we're Facebook Live, that's not going to happen tonight. We'll post our YouTube thing in there, but we're going to be primarily on YouTube tonight for the live reaction show. So that should be a lot of fun. Let's see. Where else do we want to go? Let's tackle the Islander question. Lou said his thought is with the Maple Leafs today. Either one of two things. A, he really means that. Or B, he doesn't, and it's the right thing to say, which Lou knows how to do. If you guys remember, 3 short years ago, when new ownership with the New Jersey Devils said to Lou, we would like you to be an advisory role. We would like you to focus on being vice president, president, whatever the hell his title was. We'd like to bring a new general manager in, get some fresh blood, reinvigorate this franchise. What did Lou say? Sure, guys, no problem. Would love to help. Ray Shiro comes in, and then what does Lou say? It's good to have him here, blah, blah, blah. 72 years old, the organization, this and that. And there was all kinds of crazy rumors about Lou yelling at people and being frazzled and all this stuff. And then what happens? He smiles for the camera, says all the right things for the Devils, and what happens? 3 months later, he's standing in front of cameras with a Maple Leaf logo behind him, and he's now the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he went from, I'm here to be a support. I mean, he literally said everything he said today with the Maple Leafs with the Devils before 3 months later walking out on the Devils. Now, does that make Lou a scumbag? No, not at all. Did Lou, on the day that Ray got hired, intend to stay, so on and so, did he believe himself all those things? He could have thought, maybe I am getting old, maybe this is a blah, 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 maybe this is time. And then when that call came in from Brendan, he thought, well, maybe I got a little left in. Maybe that was what happened. Maybe it was totally genuine. Honestly, it doesn't even matter. Maybe he genuinely means this today. But you mean to tell me, if given the opportunity, he's not going to go work with his son, of whom, with which, besides being there during his birthing process, he worked together with for 14 years with the Devils? Don't be so naive. The possibility of looting the Islanders is as it's there as it's ever been there. I don't care what Lou Lamoriello said. Lou Lamoriello could have came out there and said, to hell with the New York Islanders, I hate them. I would still be standing here going, yeah, he might go. He might go. Now, it's an extreme example, but Lou knows the right things to say. He's here for the Maple Leafs. This is the thing. He's honoring his contract, blah, 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 blah. Jonathan Ledecky picks up the phone and calls Brendan Shanahan and says, can I talk to Lou? A, Brendan is not going to say no. And B, Lou's going to take that phone call and at least hear what he has to say. I'm not saying he's going to go to the New York Islanders. I'm saying he's going to take that phone call and they're going to have that consideration. And despite what was said today, whether it's 2 months from now or a year from now, the possibility of Lou to the New York Islanders as general manager, vice president of hockey operations, special advisor, assistant to the regional manager, whatever officeism you want to throw at it, the possibility of him going to the Islanders is as possible as ever. The possibility of Lou going to any of the other 29 NHL teams besides the Islanders or staying with the Leafs, entirely possible. Lou going to the Seattle Totems, Kraken, slash Seals, whatever they're going to name that team, is entirely possible because Lou is a legend and everybody's going to want to get a shot at him. So if you're the New York Islanders and you're an Islander fan, you just got one step closer to getting Lou Lamoriello, but there's 20 more steps to go. So don't get too excited, but you're definitely a little bit closer. All right, let's get in here and get some of these comments. Mike writing in, Ledecky needs to hire this man now, referring to Jonathan Ledecky, owner of the Islanders. It would be nice if he goes to the Islanders, says Joe. We don't break news. We talk about it and do $100 giveaways, says Chris. Talking about our $100 hat trick challenge. We'll do it again tonight. $100 hat trick challenge. During the live show this evening, we'll pick a player from each side. Any of them wind up scoring a hat trick. I'll give away $100 to whoever liked our live stream, shared our live stream, and is subscribed to our channel on YouTube's for sure. All right, let's get in here. There's a lot of comments to get to. John, if I'm Ledecky, open the checkbook and say, write your number. Without a doubt. I mean, whatever Lou wants. Lou can command whatever he wants. He won't command a lot, but he'll get a good price for it. Kale, do you feel that this is a warranted decision? Toronto has been a major up and coming force. Great question, Kale. Let me speak to that for a second. I think this is kind of nuts for Toronto. I'm down with Brendan Shanahan. He's done all the right things, right? Brendan's done all the right things. Look at Brendan's record. Lou, Babcock, the assistant chief, Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter, which we'll talk about who's going to take over. Matthews, right? Freddie Anderson, all the things that either he did directly or indirectly through whoever he hired or this or that. Brendan has been the first step in the right direction for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Right. Brendan was the first play on the opening drive. Lou was the touchdown to win the game in overtime. But if I'm Brendan, I don't know, man. I don't really know. I might have stuck around. Now, there's a lot of factors that go into this. Lou's age, right? Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter, certainly. Anytime there's a GM opening, those two names come in a serious effect. Great front office guys with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They were rumored to be general managers in consideration before Lou was even hired. And then Lou was hired, you know, so I'm sure promises were made or discussions were had if promises weren't made. And Mark Hunter or Kyle Dubas thought that they'd be next in line or close to next in line. And then all of a sudden Lou comes in and I'm sure conversations were had. All right, we'll just wait 3 years and blah, blah, blah. So, and anytime a GM opening comes up, it's those two guys. And they've been phenomenal. Their drafting abilities, their everything else. Now, from what I understand, Kyle Dubas has a little bit of the edge, I think, over Mark Hunter, which is interesting because Mark Hunter seems to be a draft specialist, and we now know how important the draft has become. I actually want to spend a bit of time on this when we have time, not today, but how much the draft and how much the game is changing so quickly and what Vegas has done to change this game around so fast. I want to talk about that because the way hockey teams are built, it's done. The rebuilds of Garth Snow and you know, Jim Nill and, you know, all these guys. It's just, it's not going to be that way anymore. I think we're inching a little bit closer to football where every year you just, you make a new team. Now, it won't be that drastic because football, they don't have guaranteed contracts, and in the NHL they do, but I think it'll be a little bit of a different way teams go about. But we'll tackle that at the time. John, Lou changes franchises. Tavares should be on the phone with ownership right now. Sign Lou. I sign him today. Like I said, I think that Jonathan Ledecky is going to pick up the phone and have that phone call. Islanders point blank were the first ones to write it. Chris Botta, who was my former boss, was the first one to say it. We were the first ones, I think, to give it an audience outside of Chris. I've had people screaming at me, clickbait this, and you're a, you know, an a-hole that. That's fine. I'm telling you, as I sit here, I trust Chris and his sources. I think the Islanders are definitely shopping around for some front office help, whether it's a GM and Snow moves up the ladder, or they bring in a vice president and Garth is just the GM. However it goes down, they are looking for somebody. They, by the way, and this is not uncommon knowledge, they were looking for somebody a year and a half ago when they first came in. So Garth has put them off from that, but they'll do it. They're going to look, and I believe it's going to happen, and you'll see that announcement in the summertime at some point. Hopefully before the draft, they can get it done. But they're waiting for teams that are still in play. Nashville's one of them with Fenton, an assistant GM down there. So the season's got to finish out. It's got to finish out. And again, let's say they pull Fenton from Nashville and Nashville goes to the finals. Like, you're waiting till damn near close to the draft to bring in somebody to reshape your front office when a lot of the decisions on who you're going to be picking are close to, if not already, in the mind of most of the front offices. So it's not something that's going to change the Islanders overnight. But yes, Jonathan Ledecky, I believe at some point, will be on the phone talking to Toronto. Ex-Pasternak, I had a feeling this would happen, actually. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Lou's age. Like I said, I think it was mentioned that he would move into an advisory role for sure. It's nothing that nobody's already speculated about. Wouldn't be surprised if Lou wants the Islanders job, give him the full control for 3 years. And to his son, Islanders ownership must spend this money. Going to be a lot about a lot of this about money they have to spend. Lou to the Islanders, again, it's great. I love the idea of it, but let's break it down from a devil's advocate standpoint on the other side. Can you bring Lou in as vice president, keep Garth as a general manager, and have Lou's son, Crispy, the assistant general manager? How is that going to make Garth feel? What kind of a working relationship is that going to be? I don't necessarily see that working all that good. Does Garth Snow go up and become the vice president and Lou comes in as the general manager? I'm going to be honest with you, and I respect Brendan Shanahan a hell of a lot. What he did for player safety was pretty good in a short amount of time. But I didn't think that Brendan Shanahan deserved to be over Lou Lamoriello. I mean, nobody deserves to be over Lou. There's very few people that could be over Lou Lamoriello. Very few. And I certainly don't think that Garth Snow deserves to be, even in a title-only standpoint. So it could be the end of Garth on one hand. But again, do you want to put the end to Garth? Do you want to put Garth in a bad mood if he's negotiating with John Tavares, who he drafted, who John says trusts endlessly? I don't know. I just don't know. Let's see here. We'll talk about the goal in Pittsburgh in a second. Remind me, Lou's job was always to show the younger guys like Dubas how to be a GM. I'm not really surprised by the news. The Islanders would be lucky to have such a stand-up guy as general manager. Thanks, Deception, for that. I'm a little surprised. All things considered, I'm not like shocked. Like, I never saw this coming. No. But judging by how good of a job Lou did, I'm kind of surprised. I would have thought that Brendan maybe would have said, look, maybe can we keep you around for another year? Like, you know, can we keep it going? But maybe Brendan's looking at that going, if Lou stays for one more year, he's going to have another year worth of, are you staying for another? You know, it's a never ending thing. So perhaps that was a small part of the possibility, although I don't think that any vice president or president or general manager lets the media questions run their team. Isles need that foundation. Only a Lou Lamoriello can provide that instant credibility and respect for Isles. Certainly is the good part about it, right? And that is exactly what we just talked about, what Lou brought to the Leafs. Take a look at the Leafs general managers. I mean, I can't even remember all of them. Brian Burke, Cliff Fletcher. Take a look at the last five or six. I guarantee you, and I don't even have this in front of me, I guarantee you none of them were there for 4 years or 5 years. Even Brian Burke, when they hired him, who I love, I think he's a great executive for the league. I think he's done wonderful things. Again, we just talked about the Sedin twins and their retirement and how wonderful it was for him to pull off that deal. One of the most impossible deals ever. 17,000 trades to make it happen. He finally gets the Sedin twins and puts them together. Now, they don't win a cup. They come close. They don't win a cup, but that still doesn't make Brian any less of a general manager or, let's put it under the umbrella of, hockey executive to begin with. When Brian Burke comes in, I thought, finally, now they got something cooking. And I thought he did great his first two years. It was kind of in that third year, and I would have made that move for Kessel. I thought it was smart. I liked the FNUF deal. He just could never get that goaltender in there. And ultimately, they move on from him. They only gave him 3 years. You know, and again, I think that much like what we talked about with Lou a second ago, to see the opportunity and have the patience to sit back, Brian had the patience right up till a certain point and then lost it, then dove in when he shouldn't have. So he did deserve to be fired, but I was still a little surprised. But anyway, the point is this. The friggin' Maple Leafs, having kept the general manager in that seat for more than 4 years, for the last God knows how many years. And you just can't have any bit of success when that happens. You need to give a general manager at least 5 years, most of the time 10, to build what they need to build, especially in today's NHL, when they're building all through the draft, and that takes 3 or 4 years alone. Sans the George McPhee discussion here on this one. So that being said, this constant turnover for them, I don't know. I really don't know. But Lou brought what he was supposed to bring, getting back to your comment, which was instant credibility and respect, and Lou would absolutely bring that to the New York Islanders, which they have none of. Zero. Inside the organization, I can tell you personally, they think they are one step away from the Stanley Cup. I think they're closer than most people give them credit for, but they are certainly not one step away. Outside of that organization, everybody is pointing and laughing at them. Everybody. The Rangers, the Montreal Canadiens, Dallas, the Kings, the Blackhawks, wherever those teams are in the spectrum of things, are pointing at a 12-year general manager who hasn't gotten out of the second round. Forget Alexander Ovechkin. Look at Garth Snow's track record. It's embarrassing. And I think ownership is starting to realize that, because that's how the league looks at that. Garth does not have a lot of credibility amongst the league right now. Lou Lamoriello would certainly change that. We'll talk about the Pens game tonight, because we're going to live stream reaction that show. So we're going to do another show tonight, which will be fun. So I'll talk about the Pens game quickly here. Let's see. Steven got the Dwight Schrute reference. I love it. John needs the $100 bill. Kid's birthday is coming. I hear you, man. I hear you. This was a freak accident. I just happened to have a $100 bill on my desk here in the studio, and I thought, let's try and give it away to somebody. Lou, what's up, man? Vegas is going to break the tank tonight. Are they playing tonight, or is it? It is tonight already. Jesus, game three tonight. All right, so we got to make sure we plug Lou's. Stream tonight. Lou, are you live streaming tonight? Let me know. I have had 12 years of how Garth Snow feels. Could care less. Good point. Garth is not negotiating with Tavares. Owners aren't. Honestly, John, not so fast, man. That is not true. I have not heard that. I have absolutely not heard that. The last thing I know is John stood in front of the media and said, I trust Garth and Doug. That's what he said. And if you're Islanders ownership, whatever bit of hope you have, you hold on to it. John said two things on his exit interviews to the public. I want to stay. I said that from the beginning, but I wanted to take my time with the decision. I want everything to work out here. I always have. I think that was closer to what he said. And I trust Garth and Doug. That's what he said. Nobody else does. Everybody else in the league's pointing and laughing. But John trusts him. They drafted him. John lived with Doug Waite for the first year, 2 years. I think it was only a year, but maybe two, that he was even in the league. John moved out of mom and dad's house and moved into Doug's Waite house. Their bond goes pretty deep. So you can't expect somebody to just blow that up overnight. And I think John knows. And look, again, are they one step away from the cup? No. Are they closer than most people say? I think so. I think so. Maybe Lou can change that and bring him in, really get him in there quick, because they need goaltending and they need a little bit better defense. But again, Anders Lee scores 40 goals. John Tavares has a good year. Matthew Barzal is going to win Rookie of the Year. Josh Bailey seems like he's finally coming into his own. Pulak and Pelech, not great years, but a year of experience under their belt, right? We think 55 was injured for the most part. You hope that Letty turns his season around and becomes, the Letty of old. They could be closer than most people think. Let's see. Lou is going to live stream Knights and Sharks tonight. All right, so amazing. So we'll be the opening act for Lou over at Vegas Golden Knights coverage. Follow his channel. He just did a comment on the YouTube side of things. If you're on Facebook, you can search Vegas Golden Knights coverage on Facebook. He's got accounts there too. I always enjoy Lou, especially when he's got his little hockey stick and everything and he's biting it and all that stuff. Always fun to watch the streams. So you can stream and watch the Vegas-San Jose game late night, if you're in the East, with Lou. But we'll be on here at 7 on YouTube only. Again, we'll be on YouTube only. Game 2, Boston-Tampa on YouTube. We'll live stream reaction show. Somebody just asked me live stream Caps and Pens Game 3. That is the plan. 7:30 tomorrow night, we'll do it again on YouTube only. Again, we'll post links up on the Facebook page, but we'll do it on YouTube. The stream itself will be on YouTube only, trying to jump those YouTube numbers up a bit, and the live reaction streams seem to be working. We're going to do it from my living room, too, not in the studio here. Got the big TV, a little bit easier to watch. We're going to try it out. Got our portable lights that we're going to bring down so we get good lighting in there, because, of course, if you can't see my face, maybe we'll do worse lighting. Let's do no lighting. Let's make that the thing. We want everybody to stay and watch. Liz, I didn't even realize I had a devil's advocate pun in there, but I'll take credit for it after the fact. Let's talk about the Pens and Caps. Love that this series is tied up. By the way, I'm a hockey fan. I'm rooting for game sevens all across the board. Am I rooting for my picks to go because I want my bracket to be great? I am, but I'm rooting for game sevens, man. I mean, these are some great damn series all around. We got Nashville-Winnipeg tied up at a game apiece now. Vegas-San Jose's tied up at a game apiece. You know, look, did I want Vegas to go 16-0 and win the cup? Sure, that would have been amazing, but it's not going to happen. And Boston-Tampa is 1-0 right now. They're the late, I think they're the only ones, right, that are going into a game two. Last ones to play a game two. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Pittsburgh and Washington. Look, Pittsburgh probably got hosed. Pittsburgh gets a lot of calls. And I'm not saying that from a standpoint of, well, the league was trying to even things out. Because, look, there is no grand conspiracy. Okay. I've been on the inside. All right. I've been to league meetings and things, and I've done a lot of stuff. There's no grand conspiracy. Gary Bettman doesn't root for one team over the other. Gary Bettman's an Islander fan, by the way. So, okay. And the Islanders haven't won in forever. So if he really wanted to fix things, he would fix his favorite team. All right. And he doesn't. So he wants what's best for the league. Now, does the league secretly root for stuff? Sure. You know what would be great for the National Hockey League? If the Rangers and the LA Kings were in the Stanley Cup final every single year. That would be great for the National Hockey League. To have the number two, the number one and number two markets in the country be in prime, you know, viewership of the entire world, that would be the best. You know, would the Rangers, would the Kings, Toronto series be good? Second best. They want Boston and Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the league wants. The league wants revenue. So, yeah, are they sitting in there when it's Rangers, Kings? Sure. Happy as hell. Are they depressed when it's Arizona, Columbus? Yep. Yep. Or Arizona, Florida Panthers, if that ever was a fantasy Stanley Cup final. Yep. Yep, they would be depressed. Nobody would watch that. So that's what the league roots for. But there's not, nobody's in there. You know, there's no bat phone that Gary Bettman picks up and goes, give this call to Pittsburgh. Doesn't happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. But I say it because Pittsburgh gets a lot of calls. So if you're a fan of the Penguins, you didn't get this one. That's one you didn't get. You've gotten a lot of other ones. Was it a goal? I saw the super slowed down, still kind of fuzzy, zoomed in, so lose a little credibility thing there in the puck, and it looks like there's like the tiniest little hair of white in between the puck and the red line. Could have been a goal. Would I have called it a goal? Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, it just doesn't have that a bit of controversy to me. To me, the Marchessault was that goaltender interference was a little bit more fascinating of a call. To me, the Pittsburgh Penguin Washington Caps play where was it Brett Connolly that whacks Murray, where he whacks Murray, and then Murray has time to me, that's more fascinating because there's a lot more room for interpretation there. You know, in this particular instance, it was hard as hell to see that. Odds are that it's in, but for the most time, it's got to be super conclusive. They have to clearly be able to see it. Now, you could be like, I can see it. I can see that. Maybe. But that's not the call that the league made at the time. And I get it. I get it. It wasn't clear. It was tucked in the pad. You don't have a you have to absolutely sit there and go, I feel good about myself knowing I made this call. And they couldn't say that. They couldn't say, I feel good knowing that that puck was in. So they couldn't do it, and that's the way they went with it. Again, Pittsburgh gets a lot of calls. But Washington played a hell of a game. And then Washington wound up scoring 4 goals anyway. Now, you can make the argument, well, it would have changed the momentum of the game, and things would have been different. Entirely possible. But take a look at that game. Washington was all over that game. Washington played the better game, in my opinion, in that one. They really did, and they deserve to win. They deserve to win. I'm going to call you AD from now on. AD, that was definitely a goal, but I want the Caps to win. The Caps really needed that call. Again, it was so close to me. It was so close. Like, so close. That I can't get crazy with it. I'm not too worried about AB this series. Caps always choke. If they called it a goal on the ice, it would have been a goal. But since they didn't, they couldn't 100% positively prove it. A better way to surmise what I've been blabbing about for 40 minutes here, which is, yeah, the call on the ice was no goal. You have to overwhelmingly be able to turn that over. It's just like law in our country, you know, innocent until proven guilty. You don't have to prove that your client's innocent. You just have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And if there's that little inkling in there where people think, well, it could have been this, then your guy gets to walk. And that's the same thing with this. You got to be able to overwhelmingly prove that it was in and they couldn't. And that's why the call. And let's be honest with each other. This is a series now. It's going to be way better. The only team that was more desperate to even up the series than the Capitals, if they wanted to have a shot, were the Nashville Predators. And they got that last night in 2 overtimes. Pretty amazing game. A couple things I noticed from that one. If you go back and you watch the highlights, Dustin Byfuglien picked up Austin Watson and I forget who else. And literally, I've never seen a stronger hockey player than Dustin Byfuglien. He was amazing. There was a little scrum and Byfuglien literally went like this and like this. And picked up other hockey players and moved them. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I never seen anything like it. I can't honestly tell you what the best series is going to be in the second round, because they're all amazing. They've all been pretty amazing so far. Little underwhelming game one, Tampa, Boston. Let's see what happens tonight. But for the most part, every other series is tied at one game apiece, and they've been close and fun and exciting games. Double overtime for Vegas, San Jose. Double overtime last night for Winnipeg, Nashville. I'll kill myself if it's double overtime for tonight, because I got to get some sleep finally, damn it. But we'll be there with you for Tampa and Boston tonight. So that's the deal. Thumbs up on this video if you like the content that we're delivering here. Make sure you guys share this all over the web if you can. Throw it out that we're covering the hockey here, whether it's this is a bonus show. Plan tonight was to do the stream. We're still going to do the stream. Breaking news with Lou. Got to get on and throw it out there to you guys. So bam, here we are with a bonus show. That's why it's important to hit the little bell next to the subscribe button on YouTube, so that when we go live, you get a message on your phone or you get an email or whatever it is, so you can watch. Same thing on Facebook. Unless you guys do that little hover, unless you do the hover on the Facebook page, you're not going to see when we come up live, which is super important if you enjoy the hockey talk show, because we tend to come up live. And even on a random regular night, we don't have a regular schedule. We come on when it's important. You know, we pop on when we need to. I think it's a little bit better that way. So if you guys are on Facebook and you're loving the Facebooks, that's cool with me. But when you get to the Hockey Talk Show page, you hit the like button. See where it says following? I'm going to bring that up for you guys here. See where it says following? Hover your mouse over that like that. You want to see first, and you want to get notifications on all posts so you don't miss out when we go live on Facebook. That's super important. If you don't have those two things checked off, you won't know. Facebook will not tell you unless you check both those things off. So that is a super important thing to do. Back over to the Facebook comments here. Give Garth a broom and dustpan. Make him head janitor for junk. He's drafted. Yeah, I know. It's hard to defend Mike. It's hard to argue with you. And I'm not calling you out personally. It's hard to argue with people who hate Garth Snow. But he has done some good things. I mean, I hate to say it. Anders Lee, Matthew Barzell, right? I mean, he's done some good things. How excited were we when he pulled off Letty and Boychuk in one offseason? He has done some good things. He's fallen short. He deserves to go. I get it. But he's built a fairly decent base here. Don't forget that. But I agree. He doesn't deserve any more opportunities. Thoughts on referees this playoffs? I feel like they've made some bad calls overall. I get mistakes are bad. I get mistakes are made, but it seems like too many are being made. I honestly think that more people are talking about it, Danny. I don't think they're making more than usual. I think that this may sound weird, and I in no way want to take this to a political thing, but something I've noticed about 2017 and 2018 is people feel the way they feel and they think they're right. And there's no more movement for, maybe I'm wrong on this, right? So in essence, they'll hop on social media and just go crazy on something. And then that becomes the story. So never have I seen more of a, I'm on this side and I'm on that side, or I'm on this side and I'm on that. Like, it's just, there's no more. Well, maybe they're right. Maybe there's no more of that. So I don't think that the referees are worse than they've ever been. I just think that people are talking about it a lot more. You know, I think the officiating has been the same as it's ever been. In fact, I kind of think the game is better because, you know, even if the officials may get it wrong, take a look at what they're doing. They're conferencing now on delay of game penalties over the glass, right? If they don't really know for sure, they're conferencing to get it right. We're reviewing offsides calls to get it right. You know, goalie interference has been the only kind of gray area. And again, the reason why it becomes such an issue is because I show you a play, and whether it's goalie interference or is the puck in, I show you a play and I can ask 10 people and I can get 5 answers on this side and 5 answers on that side. again, it's kind of the mentality of where we are, I think, as a society, meaning human beings, in this day and age, where nobody goes, oh, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe this, or maybe that. No, people are like, oh, that's a goal, that's it. Or they're like, that's goalie interference, and that's it. And then somebody else may be like, well, no, that's not goalie interference, this, that, you know. And then you never have anything, so this argument happens and continues to happen. It piles on and retweets and all the, and, you know, it just goes on and on. Very true. Millennials are stubborn. I honestly don't know if it's millennials alone. It might be millennials versus Gen Yers versus, you know, baby boomers versus Gen X. I don't know. I don't know why it's happening. I certainly think it's very evident in politics. American politics in particular are super polarized. Like there's nobody in the last year, year and a half that's like, I'm kind of tired of being a Democrat. I'm going to become a Republican. Like nobody. Like you draw your line and you stand on your side and that is it. And even on stuff that you really kind of agree with the other side on, you're like, screw those guys, my cause, you know? So I think this is kind of the same thing. We all see the world differently. We always have. It's just been elevated a lot more with social media because everybody has a voice. And I also think there's this element of, I can't possibly be wrong. We just have different standpoints, you know? Once alternate facts came into the nomenclature and people were like, yeah, those guys suck, or this isn't really happening this way because so-and-so is lying to you. And it got crazy. It got crazy and out of hand on every side of it. So that's kind of the deal there. AD, see you at 7, man. I love it. What about the hit from Tom Wilson on Dumoulin? I don't honestly remember seeing that hit, Rob. I'm sorry. I'll go back and I'll look at it. I'm happy with the Pens goaltending down the line. It's game two. This is some great hockey. I will say Murray looked good. Didn't he look good? He certainly played better than he has been playing late in the season and in and earlier in the playoffs. So I'll give Murray some. He's not there yet, but I feel like he's getting there. He's honing in on how knockdown, drag out a great he is. Same thing with Pekka-Rinne. Pekka-Rinne, amazing last season in the postseason. This year, not as good as he has been, but we'll see if he settles in. It's all about when they're settling in. Let's see here. Real talk, if Vegas wins the cup, are you going to send that mini Stanley Cup to me for a year until next season? boy, that's a great question. I don't know. Believe it or not, I don't even know when I got this or how I got it, but it's one of the things I love the most. I just love, because this is what it's all about. And this little tiny recreation is so close. It doesn't have any inscriptions on it, but I mean, it looks exactly like the cup. It's so beautiful. I love having it here. I don't know if I can give this up to anybody, but that would be hilarious if every year we sent it to the channel that follows the team that won the cup. Maybe. We'll see if we can buy another one. I love how I'm more keen to give away $100, yet the thing that was probably given to me for $6, I'm like, I can't give this away. It means too much to me. Something wrong with me. Let's see here. If Vegas wins the cup, I quit hockey. Go Pens. All right, so tonight, 7, what are we, like 3.5 hours away. I'll see you again. We'll be streaming the game tonight. So you guys can, we can watch along together. I don't know how important it is that you guys hear the audio. Probably mostly it'll just be me watching the game and doing the reaction. But we'll try this for tonight. I'm going to try it down in the living room instead of in the studio here. Just to kind of give it a different standpoint because I had to watch the game on the little screen here. And I got the 50, I don't even know how big the TV is downstairs, but it's bigger than 9.7 inches. So I'm going to give it a shot down there and see how that works out. So we'll be streaming on YouTube tonight. So again, make sure you guys are subscribed and you're getting the notifications. And we'll see you in a couple hours right here on the Hockey Talk Show. HockeyTalkShow.com for all the more information. Tentatively, we'll do it again tomorrow night. Game 3, that's the plan right now. Could change. But I think there was one night where we weren't going to do it. Oh, maybe it was tomorrow night. Maybe, you know what? Yeah. Here's my problem with Tuesday night. You have Washington and Pittsburgh at 7:30. You got Nashville, Winnipeg at 8. I never wanted to pick one game and split, but maybe we will. I don't know. We're up in the air. We'll see what happens. That's why you got to follow along on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagrams, at Hockey Talk Show, and of course on YouTube with the bell and everything else. Enjoy your afternoon, guys. I'll see you in 3.5 hours for the next shift of the Hockey Talk.